talk to you about some of the work that we're doing in the National Human Genome Research Institute's new immersive virtual environment or virtual reality lab. And what we're doing is trying to develop new ways to educate people about genomic concepts. So just as a little background, I'm not going to talk a lot about genetics and genomics, but just so you know the type of concepts that I'm talking about, the work of my team focuses on teaching people about genomics, or the genetic basis of common diseases like type 2 diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, diseases that not only have genetic components, but also, of course, substantial environmental and behavioral components. And one of the important things about this type of disease is that the effects of an environmental or behavioral risk factor might vary according to the genes that someone has. And as our understanding of the genetic basis of disease grows, that sort of concept is likely to be quite important to be able to convey to people effectively, so that teaching them about genetic risk doesn't erode their sense of self-efficacy or their motivation to change their behavior to reduce disease risk. And so what we decided to focus on in this study was trying to teach people about gene-environment interactions, the idea that disease risk varies according to both level of genetic risk factors as well as a behavioral risk factor, and as I'll get to in a moment, particularly exercise. We actually don't know a lot about what U.S. adults understand about genomics, but what evidence there is suggests that there's, not surprisingly, substantial gaps in what people understand about their genetic risk for common disease. And of course, we also know that people have limited numeracy. Even fairly highly educated people have substantial gaps in their number skills. And so this idea of a statistical interaction, as any of you who have tried to teach statistics, even to master's level students, this idea of an interaction is quite difficult. And so what we did here was draw on research in knowledge construction and science education that suggested that an active learning approach might be more effective in teaching someone about this type of abstract genomic concept, particularly drawing on the work of Chris Deedy and some of his colleagues, who you might be familiar with from the Harvard Graduate School of Education. So we developed a study with three research questions to investigate this issue. The first was looking at the effect of learning mode, or how information is presented to learners, on comprehension of the idea that genes and environment interact to affect risk of disease. The second was to look at whether this hypothesized association between learning mode and comprehension was moderated by someone's level of health literacy. So for instance, is learning mode more important for people with limited health literacy than those with higher levels of health literacy? And finally, looking at some of the mechanisms by which this pathway might operate, and we were drawing here on theories such as social cognitive theory and the elaboration likelihood model. I won't talk a lot about the technology, but on the side of the slide there, you see an example of what someone looks like when they're in an immersive virtual environment. So they're wearing a headset, they have video screens in front of their eyes, and they can also hear audio input. I wanted to be a little more specific about the learning mode comparison that we were looking at in this study. So we're comparing active learning, which is the self-driven, interactive style of learning, where we're asking learners to construct their own knowledge or come up with answers to questions themselves, versus the more traditional didactic, or in this case, lecture-based learning. In order to hold content as possible in our comparison, both sets of worlds were structured around a common set of five questions. And so the difference was whether learners had to come up with the answers themselves, or whether they were simply told the answers to the questions by our virtual health educator, who you see here on the right. In addition to learning mode, we thought a lot about how to convey the concept of a gene-environment interaction, and we decided to go with metaphors. As you know, metaphors are a pretty common way to communicate with people about abstract concepts. But we found a very little guidance in the literature about what type of metaphor, how to select a metaphor that really conveys what you think it's conveying. And so what we ultimately decided to do was develop worlds based on two different metaphors and then test them to see which had the best effect on comprehension. So what you see here on the left is our risk elevator metaphor, where levels of disease risk are reflected as vertical movement of the elevator up and down. And you'll see a bit of an example of that in a minute. And then a somewhat more abstract metaphor, the risk bridge, where changes in levels of disease risk are reflected in changes in the available area on the bridge, and therefore someone's chance of crossing the bridge successfully without falling off. So what we did was create four virtual worlds based on the two metaphors and the two learning modes, and then tested their effect on comprehension. I wanted to just say a word about how we measured comprehension, because there's not really a gold standard about how to look at how well people are learning from an educational module. And so what we ultimately decided to do was use three different measures. The first was a measure of recall, which is simply, of course, whether people remembered facts that were presented in the world. And we developed an 11-item scale based on our main learning objectives for the virtual world. So they all had a common set of learning objectives. But we were interested in trying to get at a somewhat deeper level of conceptual understanding than simply whether people remembered what they were presented. And so based on the work of Rich Mayer at the UC Santa Barbara, we developed a measure of transfer, which is whether people can take what they've learned in one context and apply it to a problem in a different context. And that was a 4-item scale. And then to try to get at something a little more qualitative, we also had an open-ended item, which asked people to reflect on how factors affected risk of disease and look to see whether there was a change between before and after participating in the world. So this was a randomized design. We recruited 42 undergraduates at UC Santa Barbara for the initial phase of this study, and they were randomized to participate in one of the four virtual worlds. So for example, 10 of our participants completed the active learning elevator metaphor world. As you can see, they also completed pre-test and post-test questionnaires outside of the virtual world, so these were just computer-administered questionnaires. So here is where I would have shown you movies if the APHA technology had cooperated, but instead I will show you screenshots. They wouldn't let me upload my movies. So I will try to do this in a more static form. What you see here is a screenshot from the didactic learning elevator metaphor world. So you see our virtual health educator, Lucy, there in the right-hand corner. Lucy is verbally delivering information about the elevator metaphor, which you see there on the left. And again, in the elevator metaphor, changes in levels of disease risk are reflected as vertical movement of the elevator and the floor on which the elevator stops. This is a pretty static world. So participants are just sitting still, listening to our virtual health educator, and they're not really doing very much in the world. This, in contrast, is the active learning elevator metaphor world. Participants are now standing inside the metaphor, so they're standing inside the elevator. And again, what they're doing here is they're given a set of 5 questions to which they have to figure out the answers. And they do that by selecting combinations of risk factors on the control panel you see there on the left side of the slide. And then the elevator moves up and down, so they're able to see how different combinations of factors affect disease risk by vertical movement of the elevator. The particular interaction that we were modeling here is between genes and exercise. And so the way we showed that was that if a participant selected exercise there in that second box, there was greater downward movement of the elevator if they had the risk aversion or the risk increasing allele for the disease than if they did not. This is the active learning bridge metaphor world. Hopefully you can see that it's a little bit dark. In this metaphor, again, risk of disease is reflected as available area of the bridge. So you might be able to see that there are holes that have formed in the bridge and protective planks that have formed in the bridge. And those change according to the risk factors that someone selects. This is a fairly high-risk condition, so you can see that 3 people have fallen off the bridge while trying to cross it. So the way people get risk information in this world is that they're able to watch 10 avatars or agents try to cross the bridge, and then they're able to try to cross it themselves, and the probability of falling off reflects the risk of disease. Bigger protective planks form with exercise for people who have the risk version of the gene than for people who do not. So I'll talk just first about our comprehension results. Somewhat to our surprise, the highest recall score and highest transfer score were both for the didactic learning elevator metaphor world. And again, this was the pilot phase of the study, so this is only based on 42 individuals. So the comparison between the 4 groups was not significant. But when we combined across metaphors, mean transfer score was higher for the elevator metaphor world than for the bridge metaphor world. And so what that's saying is the elevator metaphor seems to be increasing people's level of understanding of this concept more than the somewhat more complicated bridge metaphor. In addition, when we combined across learning mode, mean change in recall was higher for didactic learning than for active learning, which is actually contrary to what we had hypothesized. We had hypothesized that active learning would be better. But as we had hypothesized, for variables that we believe are mediating this association, so what you're seeing here are proposed mediators. These are all mean scores on 7-point Likert or Likert scales. And the highest variables are, the highest score for each variable is highlighted in yellow. So as you can see, motivation, attention, self-reported, thinking about it or elaboration, these were all higher in the active worlds. So people felt like they were paying more attention, they liked the active learning worlds better, but for, I think, a variety of reasons, the comprehension scores were higher in the didactic learning worlds. So just as a few initial implications, I think the comparison between the elevator metaphor and the bridge metaphor is suggesting that simpler and more concrete metaphors may be more effective. So even though we thought the bridge metaphor worlds might be more fun, I think they were a little bit more distracting, and people learned from the more straightforward metaphor. We actually just completed the second phase of the study where we recruited 150 healthy adults between the ages of 18 and 40, and we are comparing the active learning elevator world to the didactic learning elevator world, so hopefully we'll be able to get a better sense of what's going on with the mediators. We've also revised our comprehension measures a bit based on the pilot results. And we'd like to examine characteristics of the world that affect learning in the analysis. Just to acknowledge, of course, this was a large team of people involved, two of whom are here in the audience, my colleagues Christina and Johanna from NHGRI, as well as Dr. Susan Persky, who provides scientific oversight for our lab. And then there were two faculty members, Jim and Andy from UC Santa Barbara. Cade McCall was the programming genius who created all of our virtual worlds. And Sarah Driscoll was the lab manager for the study. Thank you so much.